Today is Good Friday, where the whole world remembers what Christ Jesus has done for the sake of the salvation of mankind. And this morning, the title I've given is He Saved Others. Himself He cannot save. He saved others. Himself He cannot save. So let us, to begin with, read three scripture portions this Good Friday morning. And these portions of scripture are taken from Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And if you are quick to open, we shall first open the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, and verse 29 onward. Mark chapter 15, verse 29 onward. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Then we turn on to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 41 onward. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 onward. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And lastly, we turn to the Gospel according to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 35 and onward. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Jesus was crucified for claiming to be the king of Israel, for claiming to be the Son of God, and for claiming to be the Messiah, the Christ. They were throwing back at Jesus his own words and his own claims. You said you are the Son of God. You said that you are the Christ, the Messiah. You said that you are the King of Israel. Well, prove it now. Look, we have hung you to the tree. Look, we have nailed you to the cross. If you truly are the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, get yourself off those nails and come down. First of all, did Jesus really say what they were saying? It is very obvious that Jesus did say what they were saying. And this is the reason why they were throwing at Jesus his own words. And this is what they had planned. And now they had succeeded to nail him down to the cross. And so they challenged him to prove that he is truly what he had said he was. Did Jesus really say what they said? Yes, he did. Let us take just one verse each and hear what Jesus said about himself. First, Jesus did say that he was the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ at one point said, "I and the Father are one." John chapter 10 verse 30. The Lord God had revealed in the past, and it was recorded in the law of Moses. Well, I'm going to read for you Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And by this the Jews understood that God is numerically one. However, the word God here is Elohim. Plural. So we could read it as, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This means the three persons of Godhood has been revealed. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it has been revealed, are one. One Lord. Their Lordship is one. There is no division in them. There is no flaw in the triune God. There is perfect unity of thoughts, will, strength, and love. Therefore, Jesus, being the Son of God, the second person of the triune God, constantly said, "The Father has sent me. I am come from above. I am come from the Father." And now he says to the Jews, "I and the Father are one." To the Jews, it was unmistakably a heresy, a blasphemy. The Bible tells us that after they heard this, the Jews took up stones against him to stone him. And Jesus then little further replied in John chapter 10 verse 36, "Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said," look at that, "because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Then we are told, "Therefore they sought again to take him," that is, to arrest him, to kill him, "but he escaped out of their hand." So clearly the high priest and the elders of Jerusalem were planning to kill Jesus because Jesus was claiming to be the Son of God. There are other places that Jesus outrightly claimed to be the Son of God. Let us now move to the second. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ." If he be the Christ. Did Jesus claim to be the Messiah, the Christ? Messiah or Christ means one who is anointed by God for a particular purpose. It can mean to be a king or a high priest or a prophet. It can also mean that this person is set aside by God with the necessary powers to accomplish what God wants him to do through him. In the case of Jesus, the Lord God anointed him to be the king of all, to be the high priest of all, to speak the complete mind of God to all mankind, and to save sinners from their sins and from their death. So did Jesus claim that he is the Christ? Yes, he did. The high priest asked Jesus during his trial, in Mark chapter 14, verse 60 onward, I'm going to read for you. "And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace," that is, Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. "Again the high priest asked him and said unto him," now look, listen to this. This is what he asked him. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? He's putting these two together. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? That means the Son of the Blessed, the Son of God, he's become Christ. And he's asking him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I am. And he shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Now besides this, dear friends, there are many other places where Jesus clearly claimed that he is the Christ, the Messiah. We don't have time to lay down all this morning, but you can read the Gospel of John carefully and honestly, and you will know. Lastly, the high priest and the religious teachers, the elders of Jerusalem, standing before the cross of Jesus, also said, if you are the King of Israel, come down from the cross and we will believe him. So did the Lord Jesus Christ claim to be the King of Israel? Yes, he did. He showed it symbolically. It was a very powerful symbol. So what symbolic act did Jesus do in order to show that he is the King? Now, kings in Israel in the past were told not to put their trust in horses and chariots. So they would ride on an ass. The ass was a royal beast, as if to say. All the other kings of other nations used horses and chariots. Now, for example, at the time David wanted to make his son Solomon the next king, this is what he commanded his people. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 32 onward. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, that is donkey, and bring him down to Gihon. And so he was brought and on a mule, and he was anointed as king. And there they blew the trumpet and they said, God save King Solomon. David ordered that his son Solomon would be brought riding on a mule, on a donkey, to be crowned the next king. But why on a mule or an ass? Well, the idea behind it was that the ultimate true king of the world would bring peace. The true king appointed by God was not going to be a warmonger, not a land grabber. A king sitting on an ass symbolizes that he is a man of peace. A king sitting on an ass sends a strong message that he does not rely on his own strength, but on God. He sends a strong message that he is the servant of his people. He will bear the burdens of his people. An ass or a donkey is not an animal of war. An ass is a bearer of burdens. A donkey has an attitude of a servant. He carries the burdens for his master. Now that is very symbolic, is it not? This was directly pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ that came to bear the burdens of our sins. He came to serve and not to be served. He was a man of peace, and he came that those that accept him as their Savior would have peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding, eternal peace. From the very beginning, the Lord God had made it clear to his people that he was their king, and they must rely on him and him alone. He had proved it to them that he does not fight with horses and chariots. And the battle is his. And it is he that destroyed the chariots and the horsemen of the mighty Egyptian Pharaoh by causing them to sink in the sea. He had proved it to them by bringing down the wall of Jericho just with shouts. God had proved to them in so many ways and had told them that he is their king and that the battle is his. The people of God had witnessed God's sovereignty and power, and so the psalmist said. Psalmist said in the Bible, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host," that is, multitude of an army. "A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain and horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his strength." And so the children of God, they said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The saints, the children of God, believed that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The Lord God had rebuked the people of Israel many a time, saying, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and put their trust on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Dear friends, on what have you placed your faith? On what? In whom is your faith? Is it in the nuclear heads? Is it on Great Britain? Is it on the communist Russia or China? Or on USA? Or on European Union? In the one world? In the new age, have you placed your trust and faith in the Pope and in your gurus? Nothing of this will remain. God alone lives forever. As prophesied, the kingdom of the Lord, Jesus Christ alone, will stand forever. But for now, as Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus had to destroy not the physical powers of this earth, but the spiritual powers of darkness. He had to destroy Satan, death, grave, and the power of sin. This is what we are entangled with and enslaved with. Jesus came to save us from Satan and from sin. Sin that is within us, which controls us and overpowers us. It was prophesied that the true king of Israel would come riding on a donkey and not on a horse. What did it say about this king? Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." We find this prophecy being fulfilled in Jesus. In Jesus. Jesus entered into Jerusalem before his arrest on an ass. Gospel of Matthew tells us, "And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way." They threw their garments on the way. "Others cut down branches from the tree and spread them in the way. and the multitudes that went before him and that followed, they cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The people spontaneously recognized that Jesus is the King of Israel. Jesus had healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons. He has fed the hungry, walked on water, forgiven people's sins, reformed and reconstructed the lives of terrible sinners and unbelievers. He gave them joy and peace, and they walked a righteous life. Now these people put Jesus on an ass and declared him to be the king. They declared him to be the Son of David. But not all were happy about this. Jesus' enemies raged and raised a protest. And we are told, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased. They were not happy at all to hear this. They were waiting to put Jesus on the cross. But now people were saying that he is the Son of David. And said unto him, they said unto Jesus, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you not heard, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast perfected praise. He also said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, if these do not say anything, the stones will immediately cry out. The disciples, the children, the people were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. They recognized that Jesus is their king, the descendant of King David. God had promised that the descendant of King David would rule the world forever. Now they were saying that Jesus is that one. When the priest and others protested, Jesus said, the truth comes out of the mouth of babes. And even if they hold their mouth, the stones would immediately cry out the same. Let me tell you, dear friends, God does not depend upon you to make him your God. God does not depend upon you to make him great. He is great. If you don't acknowledge the whole universe, the created things will cry out his praises and sing his glory and his truth. What would they cry out? They would cry out that this is the Son of David. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah, the descendant of David, that God promised would come to rule the living and the dead, and that his rule will have no end. Prophet Daniel prophesied about this king in great details, and so also other prophets. So without doubt, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Israel. Now, if this be so, why did the Son of God, the Christ, the King, continue to remain on the cross being nailed to it? Why did the Christ and the King choose to remain on the cross when those that put him to the cross demanded him to prove who he was by coming down from the cross? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ not prove to them when they challenged him, saying, He saved others, himself he cannot save? Why did Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King, choose to die? Why did he choose to die? He could have easily called legions of angels to support him and finish the whole of the Roman and Israeli army. He could, by one word, destroy the high priest and those that mocked him and tried to arrest him. Yet he did not. He chose to die. The reason why Jesus, the Son of God, chose to die was because he came not to save himself, but to save sinners. His very name, Jesus or Yeshua, means he shall save his people from their sins. His very name means that. And he was now executing what he came to be. Jesus said, "I am come to save the lost. I am come to lay down my life, and I do it willingly. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." You must understand that the very purpose of Christ coming onto this earth, becoming like one of us, was to offer his life for our salvation, to save us from the judgment that was upon mankind. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they came under a curse. They became the slave of sin and they became the victim of death. So this curse and death was passed on to all of us, and it will continue to pass on. We are under the curse. There was no one that could save us from this curse. Can anyone break the curse of God? No way. No Guru, no Buddha, no Muhammad, no Pope, no Archbishop, nor any Mao or Darwin or Freud can break that curse. Only God can do that. Only God can do that, but that too according to his justice. If God has put a curse, then it is God that must take it away, that curse, according to his own righteous judgment. And this righteous judgment meant that only a perfect man, only a righteous man without any sin, and a man that would fully obey God's commands would break that curse. And since that curse involved punishment and death, this perfect man had to possess life in himself, take death upon himself, and through that death, regenerate life into the cursed people, into the dead people. However, there was no perfect man found among such perfection and holiness, having such perfection and holiness, having life within himself. There is none. Therefore, at the appointed time, God, according to his plan, sent his Son to save sinners. He came to redeem us from that curse. He came to buy us and free us back from that curse. Only the perfect God could break that curse from our souls. And so the Bible tells us, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Further on, the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14-15, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that is you and I, we are of flesh and blood, "he," that is Jesus also, "himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Was there no other way for God to save sinners? Was there no other way? No. There was no other way. According to God's wisdom and justice, the sinless one had to pay in full on sinners' behalf, Only a person without sin was fit for such a task. Only a person possessing life in himself could give life to those that are dead in sin because of the curse. Because of the curse, we are all dead, dear friends. We are sinners. We don't have the life of God in us. A dead person can be given life only from him that has life. And the principle is that in order that others receive life, this man that have life in him had to die. He must die. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ compared his life to a corn of wheat, to a grain of wheat. He told his disciples, John chapter 12, verse 24, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." It's a common knowledge. In order for a seed, for a grain, to bring forth much fruit, it must first go under the soil and die. If the seed does not have life in it, it will remain in the soil all alone. It will not sprout. It will not grow. It will not produce fruits. It will not. But if it has life, even though it dies, it will become a tree and produce much more fruit. Therefore, even though Jesus is the King, he is the Son of God, he is the Christ, the Messiah, he had to die. For this purpose he came, to die. He died because he possessed life in himself. And having died, like the seed that has life in it, he could give life to those that are dead and make them alive. This is not how it happens in the world among mankind. One man, even if he dies for another, he cannot give life to another dead person, can he? This is because this man does not possess the potency of life to regenerate others. His life is his own. Moreover, he does not own his own life. The life that he has is given to him by God. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has the fullness of life. The scripture tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 1 that it is through Jesus that all things were created. And verse 4 tells, in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. You see that? Jesus clearly declared to all that he is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. John 5:26, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." And then we know what Jesus said to those two sisters, Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You see that? How clear it becomes. That because Jesus had life in him, he could rise again and give life to others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, that is Christ, was made a quickening spirit." Only Jesus had the power to quicken the spirits of men, make alive the spirits of men. He can make you alive, dear friend, right now. And you will know truly that you are dead and you have been born again. Yes, for this purpose he came. And he said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So ask yourself, are you born again? Do you have life of God? Be honest, but if not, come to Him. So without doubt, in order to make this life available to all, Jesus had to die. In order that the curse was to be taken away from mankind, Jesus had to pay the ransom, life for life. For justice's sake, the full weight of sin had to fall on the sinless one. Mercy would never come if the Son of God would not step in into this world and willingly pay for our punishment. Someone far richer, far perfect, far holy, far sinless, far mighty, far from heaven above, the Son of God Himself had to stand surety on our behalf. This was that Son of God, the Messiah, the King Himself. He had made a pledge with His Heavenly Father. The pledge was to take the death and punishment of sinners upon Him so that His holy life, His righteous life, would be given to those that believe in Him. And this is what was happening. This is what was happening on the cross at Calvary. If this is what was happening on behalf of mankind between the Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, how could Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of all kings, come down from the cross? He had to finish the work that He came to perform for the salvation of mankind. He came to save you and me. He did not come to save Himself. He came to die and destroy the power of death, the curse from our lives. Oh, dear friends, please do understand this. If Jesus Christ had to come down from the cross, we would continue to be under the curse. Death would continue to reign over all mankind. No one would have life, and all mankind would perish. But now, through the Son of God, the possessor of life, life is made available to all that believe in Jesus as their Lord and giver of life. He has come. He has become the tree of life. Can you see that? He died and He has become the tree of life. That is why He calls Himself the vine. I am the vine, and you can become the branches. Yes, dear friends, why should you lose this opportunity to become the branches of this vine? Come and get attached to Christ and feed upon Him. Receive new life. Dear friends, life is very precious. If you die without having life of Christ in you, you will die for eternity. This means you will never have even a bit of God in you. Not to have life of God in you is to die and yet not die. It's a continuous process of dying and dying and dying. Not to have life of God in you is to desire life and yet not receive it. It is a miserable death. You can see God is there. You can see heaven is there. You can see your friends, your relatives enjoying peace and grace and fullness of life in heaven, in a new city. And you desire it, but you cannot have it. This is what is called hell. So Jesus, having completed His mission to save people from eternal death, died. He was buried. On the third day He rose again from the grave. He is alive. He has destroyed death, sin and the grave. He has destroyed the power of Satan. He lives on. He lives on to give life to those that believe in Him. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you made him the Lord of your life? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and the King? Listen to this, dear friends. Listen to this. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, that is, I am the Son of God, I am the Christ, I am the King, if you believe not that I am He, what He claims to be, you shall die in your sins. You shall die in your sins. From the time we are born to the day we die, we live our life on the edge. It can slip away any time. Once it is gone, it ends with terrible consequences. The only hope all of us have is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that has life in himself and can infuse his eternal life in you. Take it before it is too late. Trust in him. Look upon him. Know him. Repent of your sins and your unbelief and cry out that he might give you life, and keep doing this till you receive life, eternal life. Dear friends, the life that you are living is not a real life. Real life is in Christ. This is the reason why Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened to you, seek and you shall find. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him humbly, repentantly. Ask for pardon for your sins, for your unbelief, for your pride, and he will give you his life, the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why the Son of God came, so that we may have the life of God in us and live forever. Shall we pray?